हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावरीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 88. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Narada regrets, I, your devoted servant, have grown great sorrow in your presence because you have washed with your lotus hands my unfortunate feet, hardened by traveling. Krishna responds, Therefore, I am present to teach people, Lokam, this Dharma. I am a householder Kshatriya, and you are a Brahmin. If I do not worship you, when you come to my house, then how can Dharma preached by me through proper conduct be established? Yad yad acharatriya shrishtas tad tad eva taro janaha. Thus, just to teach Dharma, I have washed your feet today. Before I began my pastimes of preaching Dharma, when I killed Keshi, you approached me with many praises. At that time, I just listened and did not worship you at all. Please remember that and consider. Yes.
From what we see here in this particular situation, Krishna's position is kind of a reverse, because usually he is the Vishai, he's the one whom everybody worships, and here he receives the worship. But here he worships Narada. But then the question is, we have always position and we have personal dealings.
Right. Yes.
So here the conversation is based on the position, and he explains, so I'm Kshatriya, I'm a householder, so I'm worshipping you.
Yes.
And then the position, him being Bhagavan, Supreme Lord, it's a side thing at the moment.
Yes.
So how can we balance between those two? Because usually people, you know, it's confusing.
Well, Krishna gave the element there is that he, as the Lord, you know, comes to establish Dharma.
Right.
And then he sets the example, whatever great person does. So he being the supreme person, whatever example he sets is what everyone else does. So he's actually doing it because of his position of being the supreme Lord and to set the example of how everyone should do. So in that way, he still remains as the object of worship. But in the mechanics of it, then you see he's showing how the Kshatriya householder is worshiping the Brahmins. You know, so he's performing his pastimes, but it's still part of his pastime. So then Narada Muni as service is accepting that worship of Krishna for Krishna's unfolding of Krishna's pastime. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because the two go, because we're used to it's one or the other or something, but the thing is it doesn't always work like that. You know, the things go together.
Yeah, when we usually mix personal with position, then when it's really difficult to hold it together.
Yes, oh, that's just because we're not used to doing it, because it's not something we practice, because the at least the modern corporate world, or world of, you know, economy and politics, it's about efficiency.
Yeah.
Because when you're talking about spiritual, it means it's about the primary element, and you're engaging the secondary to express the primary. Material means it's about the primary. So really material means, I mean, it's about the secondary. So you've already dropped from primary to secondary. Right? But then you'd say the more pious then considers the higher qualities and elements like that. You know, but then if we're talking about just the efficiency, then it's just the most external of the secondary. And that's considered the most efficient. But we see is why would that direction be seen as higher? unless it's by someone who's lower. Does that make sense? Because you've reversed it. You've taken from pure goodness, then you drop it down to goodness, where you're following the scriptures and all that, and then it's about the qualities and character. And then you drop it down to just passion and ignorance, where it's just the knowledge being applied to get the specific result that you're looking for. Result meaning a secondary form, like, you know, money or a house or, you know, something, you know, physical that, so, how you say? It's physical and it's dead matter, right? Like that. Because then when you go to goodness, you have to include the people that are there playing those roles. And then pure goodness means you're, it's the supreme person and you as a person as servant of that supreme person. Right? So you basically have the position of pure goodness, you know, which is devotional service, goodness, which is piety, and then, you know, as it goes down, you start adding in passion and ignorance. Until what's wrong is made as right. You know, it's like, much, you know, it's, you know, it's like nowadays then people that, let's say, ladies who are comfortable at home, doing their thing at home, they'll be criticized by other ladies. But the point is no, women should be able to do whatever they like. Now, what if they want to stay at home? But no, these other ladies won't let them stay at home. So it's not about doing whatever you like. It's about the modes of nature. So we've gotten so much into ignorance, we don't care about the personal relationships. You know, because the mode of goodness includes the mind. And so that means the personal dealings and relationships, though mundane. But still, it's about, it has more the form of the what the natural tendencies are, but it's perverted because it's not about Krishna, it's about ourselves. Right? And so it's less distorted. And so we start to distort it so much that, you know, I don't trust anyone else. I got to get my things. No one cares about me. I do everything myself. So if anybody else is in that position, that makes my position look weak because they can do that and they're happy. But my position is you can't do that and be happy. You have to do this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so that's just the you know, it's like, these Vedic things don't work. We've tried them, and so therefore we have to move on to these, you know, more contemporary, more practical, more realistic things. But then you see there's one community that is doing it nicely. Everybody else technically wants to shut that community down because it makes them all look bad. They'll never say that. They'll try to point out the weaknesses there, but they won't notice the weaknesses in what they're doing. You know, they'll say, what do you call it? Okay, like an arranged marriage doesn't work, but non-arranged, does that work? 75% in divorce rate? How is that working? You know, we'd have to at least say 50-50. Then you say it's kind of, you know, but when it says 60%, you know, it's only 40%, you know, is divorce rate, then you kind of say, well, it kind of works. If it was 75% is stay together and only 25, then you say it's quite solid. But actually, if you wanted to make it where people are going to be more confident, it would have to be at least 80, but that's the lowest level. If it's 90, 95%, then you say, okay, it's quite solid. 98%, you know, okay, 2% doesn't work out. Okay, that's a risk I can worth taking. But if you say it's only 1 in 4 will make it, how is that better? You know what I'm saying? So... Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that they get rid of the one, but they don't actually correct it or correct the elements. It's just that they want to be independent. So that independence is always, that's the problem, because I want to be the controller and enjoyer. You know, so Krishna sets the example of how to do things so that we'll follow that. So he's still in the position, because we're hearing these pastimes, and it attracts us to Krishna. So he's actually the goal of this pastime. So he's still the Vishai and we're still the Ashra. Though in the pastime he made, it's like Madhu Mangal, he's a Brahmin, so he feeds him ladus and, okay, you know, please do this for me, I'll give you a bag of ladus. You know, stuff like that. So it's just part of the fun. You know. So it's because otherwise if you don't, if he's just God, then it'll drop it out and it'll make it Vaikuntha. Then it's just all the rules and regulations. He in the morning he comes out for darshan, they sit there, they have court, then he goes back in, and, you know, just straight out of, you know, like with a pancharatra. You know, Dita's woken up, then they come out, then there's that, then they go for their bath and everything, then they come out for things, and they're there till the noon, they have the, and then lunch and all that, then they go, they rest, and then they come out in the evening, and then they go to sleep. So that's how Vaikuntha works. And so it doesn't have any of these other things, and it's the same, that's where he said it's the same, and that's why Narad Muni is freaking out, because there's so many things going on that are just so different. In Vaikuntha, you don't have that. You know, there'll be variety, but it's variety within this formality.
Yeah. When we talk about Narada Muni, we know that he can be in any pastime. He can witness them.
Yes.
But his own is Vaikuntha mode.
He's from Vaikuntha. But at the same time, as we do know in other forms, he's in other pastimes. But the point is, as Narada Muni, he's from Vaikuntha. You know, and so in the generic, then if he's in Shantaras, he can go anywhere and anything because he's a Brahmin. So he can enter. That's the point. He can enter any pastime, go anywhere, do anything. So that's available. But we also see his other cases. Then he's in Dasyaras. In other cases like this. So it's so that's why he's the. I say, you know, he Srivas Thakur. Right. So when it comes to the Panchatattva, he represents all jivas. Because he's always in all situations engaged. But here, because of his relationship with the Lord, then you may have these different things. So he's feeling bad, the Lord's washing his feet. But it is being done, he's only lamenting. He didn't stop him from that. He just is thinking that this is so difficult. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Sudama Vipra comes and he's doing like that.
So then we find over here that Naradji, you know, he has his Varana and Ashram, which is not equal to Krishna's Varana and Ashram. And if you see Sudama Vipra,
he's not equal to Krishna's Varana and Ashram. Yeah, Narada Muni is a Brahmin.
He's a Krishna.
Yes, but Narad Muni is a Brahmin.
Yeah, he's a Brahmin and he's in the sannyasa ashram. So Varna and Ashram both are not equal. On the other hand, Sudama Vipra and Krishna both are in the Grihastha ashram, but one is a Kshatriya and other is a Brahmin.
Right.
So is it that the Varna will always have more priority?
The Varna is the social position.
And therefore?
And so therefore in the social affairs, that always stands. Then within ashram things, then you're going to, that will stand. It's not that they both don't go together. You have to see. But the point is that a grihastha worships Brahman. So even if he's, you know, depending upon what they are. Now, let's say a bunch of brahmacharis, he doesn't necessarily, he'll just take care of them, feed them. But if they're senior brahmacharis, then he's in a senior position. It just depends on the individual.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much individual case. Narada laments, that may be, but in washing my feet, I have committed offense in letting you drink the water that touched my feet. Krishna responds with affection to pacify him. O son, you should understand that just as there is no offense for the son in touching his father's body with his foot, there's no offense for you if I touch your feet or drink your foot wash. Right? Because he's worried about the position of Krishna as the supreme. But then, in that relationship, he switches it. So like in Vaikuntha, then he's like, you know, it's like the children. You know, because he's the king, and so he takes care of everybody and stuff like that. So in this case, then it doesn't work out. It's not a problem. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of how you see the relationship.
Can we say that Krishna called him the son because Krishna is a grihastha and Narada is a
brahmachari? You have that, but at the same time, it's here because he's dealing with him as the supreme lord. And so all living entities are coming from the Supreme Lord. So that means everybody is God's children. Yeah. Yes. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus in every palace, Narada saw the Lord in his same personal form, executing the transcendental principles of religion that purify those engaged in household affairs. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. With one body, Krishna, Tam Ekam, was present in each of the 16,000 palaces, as was previously stated in verse 2. Because Narada had a desire to see this, and Krishna had a desire to show this, Narada was able to see. The residents of Dwarka, however, saw Krishna only in the palace where they were residing, even if they sometimes went to other houses, interrupting their routine. You know, so if they went there, they only saw the one. If they go to the other one, they only see that other one. Does that make sense? But Narada Muni could go to all of them at once and see all of them at once. So only Narada saw like that. No one else. The other residents of Dwarka, it's just Krishna's at his house. And so whichever house they go to, then that's the house he's at. And so they say he's there and he's not at the other ones. Does that make sense? So it's like the queens. They thought, Krishna's at my palace and he's not at the other one, so he likes me the best. But each queen was thinking that. So Narada Muni heard about that and wanted to see. So it's just for, because Narada wanted to see, because in this flavor, then he has that aspect of the, what do you call it? That appreciation of the Lord. So that's the rasa, is appreciating the greatness of the Lord and the specialness of the Lord. So then he wanted to see it, so Krishna wanted to show that to him. That's how he reciprocates. Mm-hmm. But others, they're in a specific rasa where they function in that way. And so then he will show them according to that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter, it's still all about rasa. But it's just a matter of who sees what. Mm-hmm. Because Narada saw this, but no one else saw this. Yeah. So it's because it's here and spoken by Sukadeva, now we know about it. You know, because Narada heard it. But otherwise, we wouldn't know this. Because the other Dwarkavasis don't know this.
Any rasa is quite important.
All rasas are important. So Krishna balances them all, you know, according to their position. So that's the thing, is what Rupa Goswami mentions. He's so expert, he can do all these different things at once. Mm-hmm. So he can be involved in all these different relationships all at the same time. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, because he's the Supreme Lord. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, is how he goes about it is like a human being. That's the whole idea. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, because he's not doing it like a... means he's using his mystic yoga, but it's not that he's doing it as a yogi. Right, Kardama Muni is expanding, but as a yogi. Yeah. But Krishna's not. He's just the same. He's just expanding to take part, to interact with all the devotees. Yeah. Yeah. So it takes on that human element. You know, not the demigod or that kind of, the non-human element. So, yeah. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, having repeatedly seen the vast mystic display of Lord Krishna, whose power is unlimited, the sage was amazed and filled with wonder, right? Because that's the rasa. And so that they can go on, they can remember that, go on and see Krishna in everything. So they see Krishna in everything, but don't feel separation. So even Narada goes, he won't feel separation because he's always remembering about glorifying the Lord, seeing how the Lord is in everything. Like that, but he won't feel separation because it's only appreciation of the Lord, and so therefore the Shanta Ras doesn't feel separation as such. Yes. Right? Does that make sense? But you see, is the gopis, they have that same knowledge, but for them, that reminds them of Krishna. They're absorbed in Krishna all the time, but it generates separation because the original form's not there. So for Narada Muni, his remembrance is there, and so then that keeps them absorbed. But for the gopis, then they'll remember, but they'll remember him, his original form, and how he's not, the original form is not there. He's there because he is all pervading, is all that, but his original form is not there. So only as remembrance, so as the Bhava Rupa, then he's there, and in that way they become absorbed in our. Absorbed in Krishna, but it still gives that flavor of separation.
this particular point about Narayana was amazed and he was filled with wonder. So can we say that from Shanta till Surya, they have this particular quality of being amazed and filled with wonder except for the conjugal? Because even when Krishna picked up the Govardhan and everything, we saw that everybody was amazed and they were...
No, but why did you stop at the Vatsalya? Why did you stop there?
Because gopis are not amazed. You know, it's natural for them. It doesn't interrupt, you know.
But it doesn't interrupt anybody else either. The point is everybody can be amazed and filled with wonder. But the point is the Shantaras, that's the main flavor. While the others, it's just part of it. Because when you go to Dasya, it includes what your taste is there in Shanta. And then when you go to Sakya, it includes what's in Shanta and Dasya. But Salya includes the first three, like that. So it's not that they're not there. It's just that as you go, it's just part of that. So
I think conjugal has the part of amazing.
Yeah, why they're not amazed?
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. Never amazed. Like, during at the end of the Rasa dance, when they're all dancing, then individuals start dancing and all that. And so then how Krishna dances, or how Lalita or others, and then others aren't amazed at how wonderful they did that. Or yeah. It just may have a different flavor, but...
One of the secondary rasas, and then how it...
Yes, it's part of the secondary.
It's part of the secondary.
Yeah, but it's just that they just support the others.
Yes.
Yeah, so therefore it's only supporting Shanta also. It's not that that's their rasa. In the material world, that's what we do. Like if you go on vacation, if there's no... You know, being amazed and filled with wonder, it was a bad vacation. Lord Krishna greatly honored Narada, faithfully presenting him with gifts related to economic prosperity, sense gratification, and religious duties. Thus fully satisfied, the sage departed, constantly remembering the Lord. The BBT purport mentions, as Srila Prabhupada points out in Krishna, the phrase... Artha kama dharmeshu indicates that Lord Krishna was behaving like an ordinary householder deeply concerned with economic development, sense gratification, and religious duties. Narada could understand the Lord's purpose, and he was most pleased by Sri Krishna's exemplary behavior. Thus, fully enlivened in his pure Krishna consciousness, he departed. Right? So that's how it works out. So once Krishna explains it all, then it all works nicely. Like that. Otherwise, it's quite overwhelming because Krishna's, you know, yogic opulence here is just so great. Because who else is doing this? You don't even see this in Vaikuntha, right? Vaikuntha is supposed to be the place of opulence. So, because there it's like, yes, there's unlimited Vaikuntha planets, but in each one he's in a different body. Right, because one he's Hrishikesh, one he's Madhusudana, one he's Narayana, one he's like this. Does that make sense? They're all expanding from the Chaturvyuha and like that, and then another Shankarshan expands again, and then the whole 24, and then he expands again, and then 24. So each one has a different flavor. But here it's the same person, same personality, same body, just expanded. So that you don't see in Vaikuntha. That's the whole point. This is new. Right.
Unique.
So that's what's unique about Goloka, that's not there in Vaikuntha. Like that. Because he's one personality in all these pastimes, while in Vaikuntha, planet to planet, he's a different mood. So. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, in this way, Lord Narayana imitated the ways of ordinary humans, manifesting his divine potencies for the benefit of all beings. Thus he enjoyed, dear King, in the company of a 16,000 exalted consorts, who served the Lord with their shy, affectionate glances and laughter. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, why should the Lord have faith in Artha and Kama? This verse answers, why does Krishna follow the path of men? For welfare of all people, akila bhavaya. Humans easily remember human actions. By remembering such pastimes of the Lord, he makes them free from the material world. Why should he stop their material existence? Because Krishna is endowed with kripa shakti, mercy, grihita shaktihi. But this is not the only purpose for permanently engaging in human actions. He does it for his own beloved women with human form, expanded from himself, who are more attractive than even Lakshmiji and others, in that human-like form which is the source of all the Vaikuntha Vishnu forms. And he does it for eternal pleasure. He enjoys Reme eternally with him. Yes, so he follows this path. One is that he likes doing this because the flavor in it is so much greater than being God. Right? And he can do both at once. Like we mentioned before, Louis couldn't play out in the backyard as cowherds and maintain the palace and the kingdom. But Krishna could do both at once, so like that.
Yeah. Usually if there are a few reasons, one should be the main and the others secondary. So which one is the main?
Him being happy. The Icha Shakti is always main.
Okay, so not the example for ordinary humans and not for this girl.
No, he mentioned here. Humans easily remember human actions. By remembering such pastimes of the Lord, he makes them free from the material world. Okay. And why does he do that? Because of his kripa shakti. Mercy.
So that's
why he says he comes to destroy the demons, establish dharma, and to please the devotees. But pleasing the devotees is the main. The other two happen as the side, because you do actions by getting rid of all these others that will, you know, please. So humans remember human pastimes more easily, right? Because it's something that you do and you can relate to. And so therefore, in that way, then Krishna's, he's being pleased by the interaction with the devotees, and by that the others, the aspiring devotees, can remember. And then by remembering, they come to that platform of devotees. And at the same time, those who are not devotees, then they get straightened out also. You know, and then they make less trouble for those who are, you know, practicing.
Usually when you preach, you know, this is what happens in a sense. People give reasons for not accepting bhakti because they say that Krishna also was into artha and kama, so we should also follow that.
Yeah. He's into artha and kama, but did it not mention that he was absorbed, you know, in performing the sacrifices and all that, you know, to please the Supreme? You know? So what about that part? You know, it's like I don't know now, you could say, but back in the, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, you go into some, you know, businessman's office, right? And you start talking about bhakti and all that. And every last one of them, they will always quote, what is it? Karma nyeva dikadas te. Only that part. They will never say the other three lines. You have a right to perform your duty, you know, like this, you know, so therefore, you know, why are you saying that, you know, bargaining all this and that? Yeah, what about that the fruit's not yours? You know, what about that part? They'll never quote that part. So therefore, they're just picking and choosing what they like from his pastimes. It's not that he's setting this example that, yeah, you have to be a gross materialist and all that. Are they worshipping the Brahmins? Are they giving all nice things like that? Are they making these arrangements? Are they doing that?
A little bit,
but to who? People that is going to make a social splash. Why is there these checks that are 6 feet long and 3 feet wide? Right? It means you go in, you just sign the check and send it to them. You know what I'm saying? Or if you want to make sure, send your man down there. You know? Or if you want to do something with the people you're doing, you want to feed the kids or do something with them, then you can go down there because you have that personal relationship. No, they're there at this big thing, and how much did that whole thing cost also? that arrangement and the press and the lighting and the whole thing, and they get that check together, I'm sure the guys that make those charge a pretty penny. You know, I don't think that those are cheap. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about the social prestige. They're giving charity because it's part of Varna, not they're giving charity because it's part of ashram.
In fact, they don't have the concept of Varna and ashram.
But the point is they're giving it because it's good for business. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, you have the picture, right? The photograph, the formal occasion like that, and there's the president or the prime minister, whatever it is, the head guy of the country, and people can go and see him and they can get their picture taken with them and they'll charge you something for it. Right? Now, the president is standing there, and he's just very sober and, you know, proper for the occasion. The guy that's there with him, what does he look like? He's like in total ecstasy. Yeah. But now, who's he going to show that to?
Everybody.
Yeah. All the other jokers. And what's the point? It increases his prestige. It's not about, you know, that respect and like that, I'm at the head of the country and, you know, like that. No. Now, if you saw a military man that was there with him, it'd be completely opposite. Very sober, very, you know, that mood of service and like that. So it's not that they're doing charity from the ashram side as for their benefit on the way of spiritual benefit or piety. They're doing it because it's good for business. Like, you know, when they have those fundraising, you know, events, you know, $1,000 a plate kind of thing, and you go with your family and sit there in your black tie and all these kind of things. You're there because that's where you meet everybody and all that. You're not there, then you're not part of the scene. They don't consider you part of their scene, so you don't get any facility. So it's part of, it's just, we're rich, we do these things, so that's what they have to do. Not that this is part of just as a human being, I have more money, so I should be giving in charity. You know, it's the social status. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so one has to be always careful in being able to see what's the whole point. So here, they're talking about the, you know, what is, you know, ashram. This is all ashram stuff. Like that. So if they're following on that, you know, an example, then fine. But we see in here how much effort was put into the, how much, where do we see that Krishna's making money? And them, you know, 22 hours a day, what are they doing? Yeah, so we see him, he's, you know, receiving the Brahmins, doing his yajnas, sitting with the family members, you know, then, you know, taking care of his occupational duties and all that. And
he's the king.
Yes, but do you ever hear of him getting money?
No, but there's tax collectors.
No, but do you ever hear about it? No, so but they're pointing out, I read it here.
Oh,
now, does Yudhishthira get things? Yes, because now that's showing then what's all the things there. But it doesn't show all the things that he does. Okay, but this is not... Okay, we get that. Okay, he does this for his eternal pleasure. He enjoys Reme eternally with them. Isn't there a French name, something like Reme? Or Remy? Or
Remy?
So does that mean he enjoys?
Name.
Okay, and it means he enjoys? The French form of...
He's French?
Of course.
Remy has come from the word Ramaya.
From Ramaya.
Yeah.
Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami concluded. Okay, so much for that. Yeah, okay. We tried. Lord Hari is the ultimate cause of universal creation, maintenance and destruction. My dear King, anyone who chants about, hears about, or simply appreciates the extraordinary activities he performed in this world, which are impossible to imitate. They could, you know, in other words, read the whole chapter. You know, don't just take the part, oh, here, see? Like this. What about this impossible to imitate? Will surely develop devotion for the Supreme Lord, the bestower of liberation.
Yeah.
Soon.
You always say that.
Right, what are you supposed to say? You know? At this date, at this time, you know, like that. The BBT purport concludes, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has given various meanings for the word Ananya Vishayani. This term may indicate that the Lord performed activities in Dwarka that were unusual even for his plenary expansions, to say nothing of others. Or the term can be understood to indicate that the Lord performed these activities for the sake of his pure, exclusive devotees. In any case, one who recites or hears accounts of these pastimes will certainly be engaged in Krishna consciousness and, as Srila Prabhupada writes, quote, certainly... Oh, this is the BBT purport, because it started with Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti. Then I say, Vishwanath Chakravarti, yeah. Just Srila Prabhupada, right? I said, wow, okay, cool. Yeah. Then I said, oh, okay, now I get it.
BBT purport will be quoting everybody.
Srila
Swami, they quote.
Yeah. Certainly, okay, as Srila Prabhupada writes, certainly find it very easy to traverse the path of liberation and taste the nectar of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada further points out that the word anumodate here indicates that one who, quote, supports a preacher of the Krishna conscious movement, end quote, will also receive the benefits mentioned here.
Yeah.
Because then, here, Narad Muni, who, when you think of universal preachers, you know, he's got to be on the top of the list, right? Anybody else, you know. He's the man. He travels the whole universe. He preaches. He's like this. So, and Krishna then received him, you know, interacted with him, gave him so much, you know, charity and all that. And so he's supporting such a person. So if we do that, then it also, you'll get the same benefits.
So we should support Narad Muni?
Yes, which are impossible to imitate. Yeah. Means, yeah, you could pay for the puja for Srivast Thakur and all his outfits and everything. Yeah. So, and then soon becomes sooner. Right? You know. Conclusion. One can understand the inconceivable action of the Lord's internal potency only by his mercy. So it's by the Lord's mercy, then we can understand. Because otherwise it's not by logic. Right? It means we see when we go through the chapter, the points that we come up. The question is because it doesn't match with the logic. And so we'll explain that, but in connection with Krishna consciousness. So it's by hearing the Krishna consciousness and accepting the Krishna consciousness, then Krishna reveals it. And then we go, oh, that makes sense. It's not because of the logical presentation. It's because we're hearing it in connection with Krishna. Therefore, Krishna reveals as it goes. That's the process. Right? So Shravanam Kirtanam, that's the process. So if we do that, that's why we understand. Not because it was logical and we presented and this and that. That's not how it works. Chapter 7. Lord Krishna's daily activities. Pratigya. The activities of the Lord should be followed, but they cannot be imitated. Right, so now after that, now the things. Yeah, just tell them. So Krishna does, chapter 70.
That's a general Hindu.
Yeah, general. Yes. Chapter 70 summarizes questions and answers. The rhetorical questions uttered in verses 38 and 43 do not come under this study. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes Lord Krishna's daily activities and two proposals placed before him, one by a messenger from Dwarka and another by the sage Narada. In the early hours of the morning, Lord Krishna would rise from bed and bathe himself in clear water. After executing the dawn rituals and other religious duties, he would offer oblations into the sacred fire, chant the Gayatri Mantra, worship and pay tribute to the demigods, sages and forefathers, and offer respects to learned brahmanas. Then he would touch auspicious substances, decorate himself with celestial ornaments, and gratify his subjects by giving them whatever they desired. You know, so, yeah, I like to, how you say, decorate with celestial ornaments, and you know, this and that. What about giving his subject whatever they desire? That's there, but we're talking about the point of imitating. Because people pick and choose which parts. Oh, Krishna's doing that, so I should do this. What about this one? Yeah. The Lord's chariot driver, Daruka, would bring his chariot, and the Lord would mount it and drive to the royal assembly hall. Then, when he would take a seat in the assembly, surrounded by the Yadavas, he would appear like the moon surrounded by the circle of stars called nakshatras. Because the moon is there and all the nakshatras are in the full zodiac. So then they surround the whole thing, and then the moon is there surrounded by all of that. Does that make sense? Works. Bards would recite his praises to the accompaniment of drums, cymbals, veenas, and other instruments. On one occasion, the doorkeepers escorted a messenger into the assembly hall. The messenger offered prostrated obeisances to the Lord, and then, standing with joined palms, addressed him. O Lord, Jarasandha has captured 20,000 kings and is holding them prisoner. Please do something, for these kings are all your surrendered devotees. Just at that moment, Narad Muni appeared. Lord Sri Krishna and all the members of the assembly stood up and offered obeisances to Narada by bowing their heads. So you see, they're all doing this, you know, so they're all doing it. That's just the whole point. They're all standing up because they're kings. They're doing their kingly duties. Narad Muni comes as a Brahmin, then they all respect.
Even Narad Muni is respected by the beings.
Yes, yes. But we're just saying in connection with before.
Yeah. Yeah.
The sage accepted a seat, and then Lord Krishna gently questioned him, right? Because he was saying, you're getting upset now, but in these other pastimes you don't get upset, so remember those. You know, and so he's just doing it to set example. So before he's taking part in the pastime, because it's just part of the pastime. And so then for him, it's nice being part of the Lord's pastime, as he's playing the part of the king. But in here, because it was so overwhelming, he became uncomfortable. You know, therefore he makes a comment. And Krishna pointed out, no, it's the same thing, just like always is going on, just like that. So, yeah. Lord Krishna gently questioned him. Since you travel all over the universe, please inform us what the Pandava brothers are planning to do. Narada then praised the Supreme Lord and replied, King Yudhishthira desires to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. For this reason, he requests your sanction and presence. Many demigods and illustrious kings will come just to see you. Right, because that was Maharaj Yudhishthira's idea. If he does the Rajasuya, he can invite Krishna, and if Krishna comes, then everyone can come and worship Krishna. Right, so this is, you know, serious preaching here. And so we're thinking about, oh, he's doing the yajna. So Yudhishthira's doing all these kamika yajnas, so I should also do that. No, he was worshiping the Supreme Lord. Like that. Understanding that the Yadavas wanted him to defeat Jarasandha, Lord Krishna asked his wise minister, Uddhava, to determine which of the two matters at hand, the defeat of Jarasandha or the Rajasuya sacrifice, should be attended to first. Shloka Anusharana, summary of verses. Verses 1 to 21. Lord Krishna's morning activities. 22 to 31. The request from the kings imprisoned by Jarasandha. 32 to 47. Narad Muni praises Krishna and communicates King Yudhishthira's message. Verses 1 to 21. Lord Krishna's morning activities. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. From the Vedic mantras, we learn that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do. Natasya karyam karanam chavidyate. But if the Supreme Lord has nothing to do, how can we speak of the activities of the Supreme Lord? From the previous chapter, it is clear that no one can act the way Lord Krishna does. We should clearly note this fact. The activities of the Lord should be followed, but they cannot be imitated. For example, Krishna's ideal life as a householder can be followed, but if someone wants to imitate Krishna by expanding into many forms, that is not possible. We should always remember, therefore, that Lord Krishna, although playing the part of a human being, simultaneously maintains the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who's playing the role of a human. So he's always going to do it in an extraordinary way. It's not going to be ordinary. But the basic principles of what he does, that we can follow. He sets the example. But we can't do it on the scale he does. Right? That he properly marries his queen and then sets up a palace and then takes care and interacts with her and all that nicely. That we can follow. That we marry 16,108, that we can't follow. Right? Yeah. Yes.
So when Krishna leaves Dwarka, he leaves Dwarka in all his palaces?
Yes. Otherwise, if he stayed back, then the others would start grumbling. That's why he's in all of them at once. Then nobody grumbles. Because then the queen is satisfied and then stays there and doesn't. There's no politics. But if he's in just in one, then it can get a little political. Just a... So, it means when he goes, like I said before, when he goes out to the assembly hall, then when he leaves all the palaces. You know, I think there's some, I don't know if they'll say it here, that when he goes and emerges together, yeah, that'll all be mentioned. But this is something that's mentioned to us so we can appreciate the greatness of the Lord. But otherwise, the residents there, they don't see that. They just see, oh, Krishna's going, you know. They don't see that, you know, all the Krishnas are going.
Because it happens in the corners, you cannot see the other side.
Oh, okay. Krishna works it out. There's always a bush there. We can follow Lord Krishna's dealing with his wives as an ordinary human being, but his deals with more than 16,000 wives at one time cannot be imitated. The conclusion is that to become ideal householders, we should follow in the footsteps of Lord Krishna as he displayed his daily activities, but we should not imitate him at any stage of our life. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, right, so what he does that's recommended, that's what we follow. What he does that's what he does, that we don't do. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, as dawn approached, the wives of Lord Madhava, each embraced around the neck by her husband, cursed the crowing roosters. The ladies were disturbed that now they would be separated from him. Right, so in the Vedic system, the roosters have a job to do. They crow in the morning and all that, but that's all their business is. Right, does that make sense? You know, does that make sense? So their business is not ending up as, what do you call it?
Yes.
Hmm? Yeah.
In a bucket.
Yes, in a bucket. Yes.
Maharaj, at that time, the roosters, they were making noise at a particular time.
Yes, it means a certain time before the sun rises, whenever it is, they'll always crow, and then there's a certain time after that, they'll do it again. Like that, it's just, you know, just in case, you know, that it's just the way it works. So that first one, that's when then you get up, like that. Because that's how that whole thing with Indra and Ahalya and Gautama, because the crow went, and not the crow, the cock went, crowing roosters, the rooster crowed. Yeah. So then he got up and went to go take his bath, but then as he was arranging going, he didn't hear the second one. So he thought, this is weird. So then checking the symptoms, you know, things aren't right, you know. So then when he went back,
Is that where they got the idea for the snooze alarm?
Could be. Yes, so now that would be the thing to do, is how much time between the two crowings, then that would be the perfect time for the snooze, right? Huh? Well, no. It's a certain amount of time afterwards, but it's just how they work.
So morning walk conversation, disciple asks this question. Rupa said that the rooster crows at that specific time, always. Disciple asks that. No, sometimes they miss the time also. So why do they do that? Prabhupada said, just to cheat you.
Yeah, but otherwise they'll crow then. They may crow throughout the day, but it's not that. But when they first in the morning. So they must be the first of all of them to wake up. You know, because you see then all the other birds start and all that, so... Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Lord Krishna used to lie down with the 16,000 wives, but he would also rise from bed very early in the morning, 3 hours before sunrise. By nature's arrangement, the crowing of the cock warns of the Brahma Muhurta hour. There is no need of alarm clocks. As soon as the cocks crow early in the morning, it is to be understood that it is the time to rise from bed. Hearing that sound, Krishna would get up from bed. But his rising early was not very much to the liking of his wives. The wives of Krishna were so much attached to him that they would lie in bed embracing him. And as soon as the cocks crowed, Krishna's wives would be very sorry and would immediately condemn the crowing. Yes.
It is not the way system that husband and wife sleep separately.
That is also recommended. It just depends on whether you want to get sleep or not. That's all. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. In the previous chapter, it was stated that's why we say we fall in the footsteps. So here, what we learn is from this part, we learn he gets up at the Brahma Muhurta, not oh he sleeps with his wife. No, it's like, yeah, no, you have to know which one to tell. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. In the previous chapter, it was stated that Krishna had faith in Artha, Dharma, and Kama. Now, starting from the Brahma Muhurta, what type of dharmic conduct did Krishna have? This is now described. Sleeping on the lap of Krishna, they used his left arm as a pillow. This indicates their great happiness. They were filled with pain when the morning came because of separation, right? So the left arm is a pillow. His left arm means that they're sleeping on the left side. So that's what Manu mentions.
Is that Vedic?
Yeah.
The wife's in song.
On the left, yeah. Because that's where how the energy works. So it's how you say? Envy, attachment, envy. Does that make sense? So you're connecting through attachment, not through envy.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes.
They cursed the pet cocks when they crowed because by the crowing of cocks they knew it was morning. So in other words, these are pets. These aren't, industrial chickens. They said to the birds, "You should die. You should become mute." Their husband would now get up and take a bath. Husbands is in the plural since he manifested many forms. Right? Not that they had many husbands. Okay, that one got up, now go to the other one. No, it's just because he's manifesting all these forms, so he's talking about all the queens would do this, and then all the forms of Krishna would all get up at that time. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "The bees buzzing, caused by the fragrant breeze from the Parijata garden, roused the birds from sleep. And when the birds began to sing loudly, they woke Lord Krishna like court poets reciting his glories." Footnote 30. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, "Awakened by the fragrant breezes, the bees were singing. This singing awakened the birds. These birds, like bards, awakened Krishna." Right, so there's a system here. Lying in her beloved's arms, Queen Bidarbi did not like this most auspicious hour, for it meant she would lose his embrace. Footnote 31. The BBT purport states, Srila Sridhar Swami explains that the reaction of Queen Bidarbi, Rukmini Devi, shows the attitude of all the queens. Right? So you just have to explain one and you know the rest. It's just like a pot of rice. You take one out, you don't have to squeeze each grain in the pot to check if it's done. Right? That, yeah. When you go to serve the rice, it won't look so good.
So Krishna needs to get up, run her, and then go back to bed.
No. He would get up and take his bath.
And it's 3 hours before sunrise.
Right.
So the cocks are crowing after us.
No, they're crowing at that time.
Oh.
That's what he's saying, is that they all, in other words, the cocks crow. Whenever they crow, that's when he get up. So the bees, smelling the fragrant breezes, they'd start to sing. Then hearing that, the birds would wake up, and so in that, then the cocks would crow, because they're the loudest, and the other ones make pleasant sounds like that. But, cock crowing, it's not as easy to sleep through. I'm sure they would position them in a place so you could hear them, not that, that they would be down in the dungeon or something like that. Yeah, go ahead, crow all you like.
Why would you need them anyway?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying there might be a difference between how what Krishna's arrangements would be and the queen's arrangements would be.
And then the fun part is, if you don't wake up, you have to release them. Otherwise, they keep increasing their...
Oh, they keep going until you let them go. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, you release that's them a good in the morning. Thing.
So, yes, the snooze just gets louder.
So now it just means that Krishna is waking up about maybe 3 o'clock in the morning.
Means if you're working on this, that, you know, you're taking the thing of 6 o'clock is when the sun comes up. And that means, but it's light before that. It's not that it's dark until 6. Means 6 means when the sun comes up. Right? It says Suryodaya. But then before that, you'll have the Ushrodoy, where it's fully light but no sun, and then Arunodoy, where it's, you just start to get that redness and the starting like that. And so then there's some time before that. So the Brahma Muhurta will be back like that. So
it must have been sometime during the Brahma Muhurta that comes to Krona.
Yes, whenever their time is, but that's the point.
It wasn't when it began, which is an hour and a half. Before.
The Brahma Muhurta is an hour and a half before, but you get up, and you know, 3 hours before to be ready, because during the Brahma Muhurta is when you're supposed to be performing those auspicious duties, and you can't be performing them if you're still trying to figure out, you know, which way's up, and you know, like that, and go to the bathroom to brush your teeth and figure out that the bolts got loose during the night and your head's still on the pillow and you have to go back, put it on backwards, you know, all that kind of stuff.
But how is it even light at that time if it's 3 hours before?
It's not light.
It's not light.
I'm saying that 3 hours before includes all that. So it's not that it's dark for those full 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Like that. Means, in other words, you're getting up before and then like that. Yeah. So then getting up, what is it, 3 hours before sunrise? Let's see, in the summertime in Finland, the sun is fully up at 3 a.m. So that means you get up at midnight, like that. But it didn't actually get dark until, and you're supposed to go to sleep after it gets dark. So it didn't actually get dark until about 11:30. So you get in, you know, a solid, you know, half an hour, 1 hour rest every night. Too, like that. Huh? Yeah. But then think of the benefits in the winter, right? Doesn't get light until 10 in the morning, so you can get up at 7, and it's already dark again. I'm not sure if they said it was at 2 or 3, like that. You know, I mean, as you go up north, you know, like, you know, with Santa Claus. You know, that's why it takes them a whole year to prepare everything. You know, because they live up there, and they sleep most of the time, right? You know, so.
Polar bears. Polar bears.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
No, the keeping of the rooster in the devotee, like village community, is it like some metaphysical importance or like...
Metaphysical importance. Like, they're an alarm clock. Yeah. That's what they are.
Can we stick
the
trunk?
But you could consider if you can get an app that it sounds like a rooster. Remember, it was somebody... I think I told this before. Their ringtone was cows mooing. And so they were on the tour, and in, you know, they always stay in the school, so they have the programs in the gym. And then outside the gym at some distance, like a, I don't know, some place, there was some kind of farm there. And this one lady had left her bag on that side of the gym. And so when it went off and it started mooing, people thought it was, you know, that farm over there. And that. And then at some point, I think the lady's sister came in and, you know, pick up the phone or something. Then they figure, says, we thought it was cows. You know, I thought that was a farmer. Says, yeah, that's chickens. That's not cows. Yeah, so. You know, they're just thinking, oh, all the cows mooing. And that's a chicken farm.
There's a rooster ringtone also.
Rooster ringtone.
Cuckoo ringtone.
Yeah.
So we have the app for the bell, we can have the app for the rooster.
Rooster, yeah.
For the cows. And
Yeah, like that. You put it all on at once, you know, it's all happening.
I was thinking maybe the sound has some kind of, on the human body, it has some kind of effect that you can get
I'm sure it does. Yeah. I haven't heard, but otherwise, why that one?
Yeah, why that one?
Because the other ones, you know, they're pleasant and nice and all that, but when the cocks crow, it's not unpleasant, but it's not so pleasant. It's not pleasant enough you can sleep, but it's not so unpleasant that you would also be saying, we should die. We should become mute. You know? It's just a powerful, you know, so you know it went off, right? Yes. But otherwise, more technical than that, I can't say.
It's been said that Indra, he travels in his chariot, you know, at that time, and therefore the cocks are very much disturbed because of the vibrations. Therefore, they start crowing.
Oh, because Indra's traveling in his chariot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Why would he travel in that hour?
They get up in the Brahma, don't they?
Yeah.
That's it. Means the Makara Sankranti, you know, mid-January, that's when the sun goes to the, it starts going to the north. That will be sunrise for the demigods. Right? And then when it goes the other way, when it goes into Uttarayana in mid-June, that's when the sun sets. Right? So, then we see when that goes down, then there's a little bit more time before the Chaturmasya starts. So that means between mid-January and when the Chaturmasya starts, that's their demigods, you know, evening time. You know, hanging out with family and friends, right? Then the Chaturmasya is when they sleep. So at the end of Kartik, they get up, but you see it's two more months before the sunrise. So that means they're up in the Brahma Muhurta and everything. Even though they're demigods. So think about that, you know. Oh wow, we go there. Don't have to get up in the morning. No, they all get up. They gotta run the universe. They gotta be ready. You know? Okay.
So,
yeah? Yeah, no, that's not great. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Okay. Although Srimati Rukmini Devi, the first queen of Lord Krishna, knew that Brahma Muhurta is the most auspicious time in the entire day, she would feel disgusted at the appearance of Brahma Muhurta because she was not very happy to have Krishna leave her side in bed. Despite Srimati Rukmini Devi's disgust, Lord Krishna would immediately get up from bed exactly on the appearance of Brahma Muhurta. An ideal householder should learn from the behavior of Lord Krishna how to rise early in the morning, however comfortably he may be lying in bed embraced by his wife. Right? So it's just, that's how it works. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. Because if you do that, then everything else goes nice. Because otherwise, if you take there, that just takes out of other time. Right? And then you're there, you know, in ignorance, not so much, you know, say, quality interaction. And so therefore, that will take out of the quality interaction during the day. So that's why if the day then is used for spiritual life and all that, it'll situate one in goodness and pure goodness, then the activities of the day go better. You know, it's not that they wish it didn't happen, but we don't see that they stop him from getting up or that he doesn't get up. Right? You know, it's just that they are having this exchange with Krishna and they wish that to continue. So they don't want to stop, but it's not that they're householders, so then they have other activities. But even you could say is, okay, but they're householders and that, so in Braj we don't have to worry about that. But that's the parakia. They're supposed to be at their own house to be woken up, right? So at the waking up time, that's when they're supposed to be up. So that means Krishna with the gopis gets up earlier than he would at his house. So we see with the queens he's getting up early, and with the gopis he's getting up early. Right? So only your mom lets you sleep a bit later, so. Hence the 40-year-old single Italian lawyer. Yeah. Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Lord Madhava would rise during the Brahma Muhurta period and touch water. With a clear mind, he would then he would meditate upon himself, the single, self-luminous, unequaled, and infallible Supreme Truth, known as Brahman, who by his very nature ever dispels all contamination. And through his personal energies, which cause the creation and destruction of this universe, manifest his own pure and blissful existence. Right. So, Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, after rising from bed, Lord Krishna would wash his mouth, hands and feet, and would immediately sit down and meditate on himself. This does not mean, however, that we should also sit down and meditate on ourselves. We have to meditate upon Krishna, Radha Krishna. That is real meditation. Krishna is Krishna himself. Therefore, he is teaching us that Brahma Muhurta should be utilized for meditation on Radha and Krishna. By such meditation, Krishna would feel very much satisfied. And similarly, we will also feel transcendentally pleased and satisfied if we utilize the Brahma Muhurta period to meditate on Radha and Krishna. And if we think of how Sri Rukmini Devi and Krishna acted as ideal householders to teach the whole human society to rise early in the morning and immediately engage in Krishna consciousness. There is no difference between meditating on the eternal forms of Radha and Krishna and chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. As for Krishna's meditation, he had no alternative but to meditate on himself. Right? You know, because being the Supreme, there is no one else to meditate. So the point is you get up, meditate on the Supreme, and so he's doing that. So we say, oh, he's meditating on himself. No, he's meditating on the Supreme, which just happened to be himself. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur adds, just as another person meditates upon Krishna at the Brahma Muhurta, so Krishna also meditated upon himself, beyond matter, tamasaf param. The one Supreme Lord, the one who reveals himself, swayam jyotihi, but it is also said that others such as Sankarsana are also the Lord. Yes, but there is no other avatar compared to him, ananyam. And moreover, even though Sankarsana and other portions of himself have eternal separate existence, Krishna is still complete, avyayam. Right? So even they'll get up and meditate on Krishna. So Balaram gets up, he'll meditate on Krishna. Right? Narayan will get up and meditate on Krishna. They'll all get up and meditate on Krishna. The reason for his supremacy is his mercy. Oh, the reason for his appearance. Where did I get supremacy? Oh, from separate. The reason for his appearance is his mercy. By his direct presence, which all men can see, he removes ignorance. From him appears the impersonal Brahman, Brahma Akyam. Here are similar statements. Madiyam mahi manam param brahmeti shabditam ves yasyanu grihitam me and brahmano hi pratishtaham. Brahma akyam can also mean he who is called Brahman, as in brahmakyam brahma namakam and brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. The Lord's excellence is described. From him come all sorts of happiness seen in the living entities. Lakshita, Bhava, Nirvritim. Through his energies which give knowledge and devotion and which create and destroy the universe. For the devotees, Krishna gives happiness by his bestowal of prema. For the followers of Dharma, he gives happiness by his careful observance of the rules of Dharma. And for the sinful, he gives happiness by killing them and then giving them liberation. Right? Well, you know, it means it's there. It means like the demons. Like, have we not heard the phrase that, you know, some friends are sitting there together and somebody's doing something crazy and one of the other, you know, friends says, "You're killing me." Right? So they consider it a good thing. That's what he says. And he gives happiness, you know, for the demons, for the sinful, he gives happiness by killing them and then giving them liberation. It's a standard thing, right? Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. The most saintly of personalities will then bathe in sanctified water, dress himself in lower and upper garments, right? So he wouldn't sit in a bathtub full of bubble bath and play with his duckies. No, because it's sanctified water. No? Get all your ducks there. Well, it's a corporate term, right? Get your ducks in a row. Yeah, come on. Dress himself in lower and upper garments and perform the entire sequence of prescribed rituals, beginning with worship at dawn. After offering oblations into the sacred fire, Lord Krishna would silently chant the Gayatri Mantra, 32. The BBT purport states, Sridhar Swami points out that since Lord Krishna was in the disciplic succession from Kanva Muni, he offered oblations to the fire before sunrise. Then he chanted the Gayatri Mantra. Because there's different times when he can offer. Remember, Manu mentions that it seems contradictory, but they're not, because some shastras will say you offer the oblations before the sunrise. Some say at sunrise, and some say after. So then, because he's in the succession from Kanva Muni, then he did it before sunrise. And so then he's chanting Gayatri at sunrise. Yeah. So like that, it's different. It's just depending upon the how they're performed, what rituals and how it will go. So therefore then the yagya is placed. So the yagya will be there, it's just which of these three will work out. Like for us, you know, following like in Bhagavatam explaining, after doing the deity worship and all that, then the pujari would do the fire yagya. Right, it's part of the 16th item. And so then that means it has to be after bathing the deity. So that means it would be after sunrise. Does that make sense? Like that. And so it just depends upon what your particular sadhana is. Good? Each day, the Lord worshiped the rising sun and propitiated the demigods, sages, and forefathers, who are all his expansions. So they're all, the potency of them all comes from him. So therefore, we see as the context in which it's mentioned, they're his expansions, so they're representing him. So again, he's worshiping himself, because who else is to worship? So we can't use this, that, well, he worships the demigods. No, he doesn't, he worships himself. Does that make sense? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. You can tell your friends. Yes. The self-possessed Lord would then carefully worship his elders and the brahmanas. To those well-attired brahmanas, he would offer herds of tame and peaceful cows with gold-plated horns and pearl necklaces. These cows were also dressed in fine cloth, and the fronts of their hooves were painted with silver. Oh, plated with silver, not painted. Providers of abundant milk. They had each given birth only once and were accompanied by their calves. Daily, the Lord gave many groups. We say, well, why once? Because they don't give milk till they had the calf. And so if it's the first calf, that means you'll get the maximum amount of milk from that cow. Because then, you know, every year, then like that. So then, because otherwise you give them, you know, a cow that's, you know, the cow with her ninth calf, you know, like that, then, you know, it may not, you know, so in other words, okay, yeah, you know, keep all these ones and give all those ones to the Brahmins and all that. Yeah, so you're giving these ones to the Brahmins, right? Yeah. These cows are also dressed in fine cloth. Okay, and the fronts of their hooves were plated with silver. Okay, we said this. Daily, the Lord gave many groups of 13,084 cows to the learned brahmanas, together with linen, deer skins, and sesame seeds. Right, so all these things that we let, the linen is used, that's the wear, deer skins, and sesame seeds, right? So here you can see linen was a common thing to use and everything there. And in the contemporary age, then until I think you're like around 50, then you figure out the linen's like the most comfortable thing to wear. So they started out that way. So the deer skin, sesame seeds, these are all used for the yagyas and everything else, you know, brahminical and that kind of stuff. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, when the sunrise became visible, the Lord would offer specific prayers to the sun god. The sun god and other demigods mentioned in the Vedic scriptures are described as different limbs of the body of Lord Krishna. and it is the duty of the householder to offer respects to the demigods and great sages, as well as the forefathers. As it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has no specific duty to perform in this world, and yet he acts just like an ordinary man, living an ideal life within this material world. In accordance with Vedic ritualistic principles, the Lord would offer respects to the demigods. The regular principle by which the demigods and forefathers are worshipped is called tarpana, which means pleasing. One's forefathers may have to take a body on another planet, but by performance of this tarpana system, they become very happy wherever they may be. It is the duty of the householder to make his family members happy. And by following this tarpana system, he can make his forefathers happy also. Right? So notice we say he make him happy and the forefathers also. Not that, okay, we make family members happy by doing the tarpana, but, you know, everybody else we don't have to worry about. No, it's make the family happy and also the forefathers. Somebody says, just in case. As the perfect exemplary household, the Lord Sri Krishna followed this tarpana system and offered respectful obeisances to the elderly, superior members of the family. The Lord is generally known as Gobrahmana Hitaya Cha, which means that his first duty is to see to the welfare of the cows and the brahmanas. Thus, he used to give cows in charity to the brahmanas with opulent decorations and paraphernalia. So he's taking care of all these aspects in worshiping. Does this make sense? But we see he's doing it all in connection with himself. So therefore, we do all this by worshiping Krishna and everything in connection with Krishna. Then it takes care, because all these devatas and that are all parts of him. He's worshiping them as parts of him. So if we worship him, it already includes those parts. Right? Does that make sense? BBT Purport adds, Sridhar Swami quotes several Vedic scriptures to show that in the context of Vedic ritual, a badva here refers to 13,084 cows. The words badvam, badvam, dine, dine, indicate that Lord Krishna would give the learned Brahman as many such groups of cows on a daily basis. Because when you repeat, then it means it's important, it's done many times. And dine, dine means every day, not just, you know, he did it that day. But no, dine, dine, every day. That Lord Krishna would give the learned Brahmins many such groups of cows on a daily basis. Sridhar Swami further gives evidence that the usual practice for great saintly kings in previous ages was to give 107 such badva, or groups of 13,084 cows. Thus, the total number of cows given in this sacrifice, known as manchara, is 14 lakhs, or 1,400,000. I was wondering, how come I can't say this? Because I was trying to say it's 100,000. Yeah. 1,400,000, right? So it all adds up. You wonder why 13,084? No, but it comes out to this. Because we want a round number. You get a round number. But you just have to follow the process, right?
So, Marj, is that a sacrifice is done at a certain time of the year?
Oh, it says dine dine. They do it every day.
Yeah, but that's under the sacrifice known as manchara.
Yeah, means when you do that, then you, if you give that many, then that's called manchara. But otherwise, if you give some of them like that, but it says he gave many. So whether he gave a manchara every day or
for the manchara,
huh?
For the manchara sacrifice, he gave 14 lakhs, and dine dine he gave only one badva.
No, but why say badvam badvam?
Every day, so badvam badvam.
No, but daily the Lord gave many groups of 13,084. Therefore, badvam badvam.
Different brahmanas.
Yes, one brahmana only would get the one badva. But he would give to many such. Maybe he didn't give 107 brahmanas. That it doesn't indicate. But the point is that we don't have to worry about. The point is giving in charity. We want to argue over that video.
Well, it's a pretty big goshen.
Yeah, no, they had a lot of cows then, like that. So here, and it's just known as Bhu Mandala, right? And Bhu Devi takes the form of a cow. Now then, in the spiritual world, the main planet is called Goloka. So how many cows? Right, so plenty of cows. No shortage.
Even someone like King Nariga gave so many cows in charity to the family. So yes. Why
it is not possible for Krishna? Yeah, no, it's just a matter of you take care of them, then you have so many cows. It's just how you set things up. Does that make sense? Like, have you been to New York? You ever, like, driven out of New York, off of Manhattan, and go, like, upstate? So, as soon as you leave the island, within like, half an hour, only because of traffic, you're out in the boonies. And it'll be boonies until you see polar bears. You know? And so the whole point is it's just how modern man has set things up. So it appears that there's no space, no this and that. There's tons of space. You know, it's just that they don't know how to use it. So you can. Cows aren't a problem. Grass grows everywhere, right? Every gardener's nightmare. There's the grass everywhere. So, but for a cow, hey, you know, so then it all works. You know, like you never hear of dairy farmers needing a lawnmower. Right? So there's plenty of cows. But still, it's because they take care, they ornament, they do everything. So Bhudevi was giving so much more. Now they don't. She just doesn't. It just doesn't happen. But she can give so much. The words alankrite bhyo vipre bhyaha indicate that in Lord Krishna's kingdom, the brahmanas were given nice clothes and ornaments and were thus well attired. Right? Because it mentioned there that, what is it? Yeah. To those well attired brahmins who would offer herds of tame and peaceful cows. Right? Saying, oh no, they're dressed okay. We don't need to give them anything. But, remember I think she was a gypsy. Going to Sagar Mela. We used to before, you also have this whole crew going through every year. Do you still get that in Calcutta? Everyone's going down to Sagar Mela. I saw the sadhus and everybody goes through. Mm-hmm. Like that. So they go through, and I remember is that this girl was complaining because she's from Rajasthan. And the gypsies there, you've seen those huge silver bangles on their hands and feet and around their neck and the earrings like this. And so the point is that's the girl's wealth, that's her security. And then they go out, if they need, they go out begging. And so that's for maintenance. And that works all over India as they come across. But they say when they get to Bengal, then the point is, you have so much, why are you begging for me? You know? And she says, she was complaining. She says, hey, well, yeah, these guys are not. Yeah, so that's the thing. The well-ornamented, or well-dressed Brahmins, and you still look, like that. Not that, well, no, hey, when you come back with ripped rags, then I'll give you something. You know? Yes.
It's like in Russia, the devotees, somebody gave them Mercedes Benz as the car to food for life.
Right.
So after some time, they just couldn't get more donations. People became so envious. How come you distribute food with the Mercedes?
Because we want the best for the people. Okay, so they sold the car and then bought stuff too.
No, they just
crashed
the car.
Oh, so you're just saying it was the regular brahmacharis temple vehicle.
Yeah.
Okay. So they should have considered a tank, right? Or one of those, what do you call it? The personnel vehicles with the treads in the back, not the wheels. Yeah, and those, then they would have respected that if they went out for food distribution.
Yeah,
they would have
donated willingly
or
funnily. Yeah, yes. APC, armored personnel carrier.
Yes, you take those out, then they'll definitely be fine. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Lord Krishna would offer obeisances to the cows, Brahmins and demigods, his elders and spiritual masters, and all living beings, all of whom are expansions of the Supreme Personality. So all these are representing the Lord in some capacity. So that's why there's always that element of respect. So we see in Manu, that's the first thing that the brahmachari is trained in, is respect. Because if that's there, then you can get all the other aspects to be done. But if respect's not there, nothing will happen. Then he would touch auspicious things. 33. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, Devata here means forms of shaligram. He offered obeisances to each one. directly. Hmm. I think about that as you increase the amount of your shaligrams, so you have 10 shaligrams, 10 obeisances. Right? Yeah. Moreover, he addressed them with Go Bhyo Namaha, Vipre Bhyo Namaha. He did this in order to inspire others to show respect for them since they were his expansions. Sambhutahi. Or he touched directly with his hand auspicious things like brown cows and his expansions.
What is the significance of
the brown cows? They're Prabhupada's, maybe Krishna's favorite cows, the brown. All cows are nice, but of them, the brown cows are more. That was the whole thing with the Damodar Leela, is that of the cows, and there's certain brown cows, and of those, his favorite cow, and then they're fed special kinds of grasses and herbs, so then it gives that flavor in the milk. That milk was on the fire. That's why she put Krishna down. So it wasn't just, oh, milk's boiling over. No, it was Krishna's special milk was boiling over. But still, Krishna had fun. He would decorate his body, the very ornament of human society, with his own special clothes and jewelry, and with divine flower garlands and ointments. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaura Prema.